Welcome to another Family Bible Study. Again, as we have been doing for a long, long time, we have been spending this time going into the Word of God, and for several years now, we've been in the book of Jeremiah. We just can't get out of it. It's amazing to me how much we have learned as we've been going through the book of Jeremiah. It's just astounding. Of course, the reason for that is that we're living at that time when the book that Daniel had been given to the information about the end of the world, and he was told to seal that until the time it would be open at the time of the end, and we happen to be living here at the time of the end. So there's lots of information we've been learning. It's always been there. It's been there for almost 2,000 years, and yet theologians, however dedicated or brilliant or really wanting to serve thee very well, like a true believer, they have been unable to know these things simply because it was not God's plan. One of the things we learned last time, it was a kind of interesting that God gave a second reason, or maybe there are more reasons, but he gave a reason why he set up the end time judgment process the way he did, with a 23-year great tribulation period during which Satan ruled in the churches, and all the true believers were instructed to get out. And that was in order to spare a lot of anguish in the lives of the true believers, because as God is preparing the churches for their entrance into the day of judgment, and they will, because they have been following a gospel that is a man-made gospel. There's no possibility that salvation could come into the churches with that kind of a situation. And yet we have been commanded in the Bible to obey those who have the spiritual rule over us. We are to hold them in high esteem. So when the pastors are teaching something that is altogether more and more, because this is also that is more and more away from the truth of the Word of God, because this is also a time when God sends a strong delusion upon those in the churches as he is preparing them for Judgment Day. The true believers, if they were still a part of the churches, would have enormous anguish, enormous suffering, mental and spiritual suffering, because on the one hand, they would be determined to obey God's rules about holding the church rulers and leaders in high esteem and listen to them and essentially obey what they're teaching by telling us to get out of the churches. And I have a whole salvation plan that has nothing to do with the local congregations. And that made it a free situation for all of the true believers. We're not under any mandate to believe any human being. We just believe the Bible. And that is our tie-in with God. And it's while we can listen to teachers outside of the Bible and who can assist us in finding truth in the Bible, we're not under their authority in any way. We're not obligated to follow them. But now we have come to verse 51 of Jeremiah 51. And now God is saying, wherefore, behold, the days come, says Jehovah, that I will do judgment upon her graven images, talking about God's judgment now on Babylon. And where are the graven images in Babylon? They're, well, if you are a Buddhist, yeah, you have graven images, literally. If you are a Confucianist or some of these other Eastern religions, they do have idols, and God's judgment will be on that. But what about the people that he's talking about in this chapter? He's not talking about them in the first place. He's talking about the churches. Do they have graven images? When you go into a Reformed church, in a Baptist church, do you see any idols around? No, you don't see any idols. Then what in the world is God talking about? Well, you know, the moment that you are putting your trust in a creed, let's say the Westminster Confession, to be very specific, or the Heidelberg Catechism, or the Canons of Dort, or the Baptist Confession, or the Lutheran Confession, whatever it may be, that, and you are committed, and that's the way the churches operate, that this is truth, you are to obey that, you are to reverence these things very highly. They come out of the Bible, and we believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God. They effectively are the graven image. They're not carved like an idol, but nevertheless, they are what the people in the churches are putting their trust in. Same as if they put their trust in the denomination just because it is long standing, or they put their trust in a priest or in the pastor himself. That becomes the graven image. And all of that, no exception, whether it's in the churches or if it's outside of the churches in other religions of some kind, God's wrath will be on that. They will be destroyed in the day of judgment. It'll be all gone. That is the statement that God is making here wherefore, behold, the days come. And that is it begins during the great tribulation, when judgment begins in the house of God, and it goes on finally into the day of judgment. I will do judgment upon her graven images, and through all her land the wounded shall groan. Now, we will learn a little bit more about these wounded who shall groan when we go a couple of verses more. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven. What does that remind you of? Remember the Tower of Babel? Remember what they wanted to do? They're going to reach God by their efforts. And they even literalized it by building a huge tower that went up and up and up. And they are going to get to heaven by their efforts. Actually, that is the nature of every church, even when they feature Christ. That is the nature. We have designed by following the Bible very carefully, we have been able to design a program whereby we can go up to heaven and escape that terrible judgment of eternal being forevermore under the wrath of God, feeding the flames of the fires that Satan is tending, or whatever. But that is the desire of mankind, to get to heaven. And even though they may have a very, very interesting plan, apparently a holy plan, apparently a workable plan, it's all gone. It's nothing. It's all out of man's thinking. It is not from by coming just to the Bible. And so God says, though Babylon would mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, from me shall spoilers come under her, saith Jehovah. The word spoiler means those who bring ruin, those who bring destruction, they are going to come. And who are these? And that is a leading phrase that's leading us into the next verse, where the next verse says, a sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord Jehovah hath plundered or spoiled or ruined Babylon, and destroyed out of her the great voice, when her waves do roar like great waters, a noise of their voice is uttered. Now, what's he talking about here? the big event, the Battle of Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon. And he's not using that kind of language, but this is when the final destruction comes to those who do not have the true gospel, who are not children of God. And you notice it says, a cry shall be heard. Go back to Matthew chapter 11, about, or 9, someplace in there. Let me see. I want Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. Let's back up one verse. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that is the cry, the weeping. And God makes reference to this again and again and again. For example, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 42. Matthew chapter 13, and this is material that we have talked about in past months, but it is so important that I'm going to go through this whole business very carefully so that we have it very plainly before us, and it will reinforce what we already know. Matthew chapter 13, verse 42, we read in verse 41, and notice it's talking about, well, let's go back to verse 39. The enemy that sowed them, that's Satan, that sowed the tares, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels or the messengers. It is the believers who are the messengers. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his messengers, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now this, the furnace of fire, is always the day of judgment. That is the fire. Whenever you read the word fire, Christ is a consuming fire. It means he is the one who is going to bring about the day of judgment. That is when it's going to end, with everything finally destroyed. But it's under the judgment of Christ, who is a consuming fire. And that's why the day of judgment is called a fire, because it is the wrath of God is being poured out. And here it's talking about those who are coming into that fire, and they are weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? 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 When we go back to Luke chapter 13, verse 28. This idea of weeping and gnashing of teeth is found quite a few times. We won't look at all of them. But in Luke 13, we read in, let's start with verse 24 to pick up a context here. Luke 13, verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ only, can you come into the kingdom of God? For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in, and shall not be able. And they're not able because they are doing it on their own strength a little bit or a whole lot. And they're doing it on their own strength a little bit or a whole lot because at the very beginning, God has not, before the foundation of the world, God has not made payment for their sins, and they were not chosen to become saved, but they will seek to enter in. And then it goes on in verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Does God mean that he doesn't know them at all? No, not that. But he doesn't know them at all as those whom were covered by his blood, that is, who have for whom he has made payment for sins. They're outside. Then shall ye begin to say, but we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. My, that's exactly the way a church member is going to argue. I mean, now God has, Christ has been in our church. We've served Christ. We have been faithful in all that we've doing. And God is saying, no, I don't know. Christ is saying, I don't know you at all, because they were not children of God. They had never become saved. Verse 27 says, but he shall say, God will say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and those which are first shall be last. Now, these few verses really are saying a whole lot. It is saying the fact that being in the church was not what caused you to become a child of God. You are not a child of God. You are left out, but outside, coming from, notice, the east and the west, and from the north and the south, all four compass points. In another passage, he simply talks, they will be coming from the east and the west. Here, God is making it all inclusive, although coming from the east and the west, if you go east, you go around the whole world. If you go west, you go around the whole world. So in a sense, that encompasses the whole world. But when he adds the north and the south, now you get four. And the number four means that it goes to the farthest extent of wherever you want to go. It's a figure to make it a lot more emphatic that people will be coming into the kingdom of God. From the last to the first, and from every part of the world. And then verse 39, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first shall be last. And the first ones were the ones that have had the gospel, churches that have been there for a long, long time. They've had the Bible. They had all kinds of special advantages because they constantly were with the Bible. Every Sunday they went to the church and presumably got some more understanding from their pastor or from their Bible teachers. And yet there are those who are last who are hearing it for the first time. And they are the ones that are coming in, not those who were first. Now, remember, long time ago, we were looking at Luke 12. In Luke 12, remember, a long time ago, we were struggling with that passage of Luke 12, verse 47. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And of whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And we struggled for some time trying to figure out who are these that are going to be beaten extra in the day of judgment. And now, because we've continued to learn from the Bible, we know exactly what God is talking about. You see, the big punishment that comes on the people who have had the Bible and who are talking about the judgment day coming someday, who are talking about the rapture, and who are exulting that when Christ comes, we're going to get the great gift, the wonderful gift of eternal life that will give us the right, that will make it true, that we will reign with Christ forever in the new heaven and the new earth. We will be co-owners, co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ of the new heaven and the new earth. Oh yes, we have enjoyed living for Christ here and living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that we do. Beautiful song, and that is what happens to anybody who tries to follow the Bible. But now comes Judgment Day. They are left behind. And remember what we read in Matthew chapter 12 about the Ninevites. And who were they? Well, they were a wicked nation. They didn't have a church. They weren't part of a congregation at all. Yet God saved them. And we read about them that in verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment. In judgment, that is, they will be condemning. And for a long time, as we were going through the process of learning, we wondered, how could they sit in judgment? How is that going to be? And another passage talks about the true believers sitting on 12 thrones judging Israel. What do you do with all of that? And now we know very accurately that just the fact that they don't say a word, they're being caught up, they're not busy looking at the unsaved that are left behind, they're busy with their eyes on Christ. But the unsaved that are left behind, it's a condemnation. It's like they are being told right then and there, you have violated the word of God, the word of God, the word of God, you who are left, and therefore the wages of sin is death. And now you are in the fire of Judgment Day. Now you are experiencing this. And that is the big, big punishment that God is talking about when he's talking about the spoilers will come from the north and bring judgment on those who are here. It no word is said, but even as the word of God, when the moment any of us or any unsaved person disobeys the word of God, instantly they're condemned and sentence is passed. The wages of sin is death. And so nobody says a word, nobody has said a word, but the Bible has. The Bible has said that the wages of sin is death. And so every time a person sins, unless that sin has been covered by the Lord Jesus, that sin is going to further ensure that the wrath of God, death, will finally come upon that person, and he will be denied the big plum, the big thing that the churches are looking for. This is one thing to have the happiness of being a fine member of a congregation, but that doesn't even begin to amount to anything compared with being eternally with Christ, co-owners with the Lord Jesus.